Once again, we have visitors among us, and we are encouraged by your presence, and we hope that you too will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. Certainly appreciate the reading that Alvin just gave for us there from Hebrews chapter 3. And you notice what the Hebrews writer said there in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. The need for us to exhort one another daily. Why? Lest anyone become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And that's what we're going to take some time to talk about this afternoon. We spent some time this morning talking about the fact that the wages of sin is death. And tonight we're going to spend some time talking about how we can overcome the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful. And because it is so deceitful, there are many who are sometimes overcome by the deceitfulness of sin. However, we must always be mindful of the awfulness of sin. And we must always seek to purge sin from our lives in order for us to someday obtain a home in heaven. So knowing the importance of the need to overcome the deceitfulness of sin, let's spend just a few moments this afternoon taking a look at some of the ways that can help us in effectively overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. And first, and perhaps the most helpful tip for helping us overcome the deceitfulness of sin is simply to pray and ask God for His help in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. You see, brethren, when we are tempted by the deceitfulness of sin and we become overcome by the deceitfulness of sin, the very first thing that we should do is go to God and ask Him for His help. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the prayer of David that we find recorded there in Psalm 51. Notice there in Psalm 51, we have what is recorded a prayer of repentance of David. And notice what David uttered to God there in verse number 10. There in Psalm 51 and verse 10, David uttered, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Think about that. Here's a man who was broken in sin. And now he's praying this prayer of repentance. And what was his plea to God? His plea to God was to create in him a clean heart and to renew a steadfast spirit within him. Simply put, David called upon God to change him. He called upon him to change him. To help him. And we too, when we become overcome by the deceitfulness of sin, we likewise need to call upon God and ask Him for His help. We need to ask Him to help us be firmly committed to His ways and to help us overcome the deceitfulness of sin. Always remembering, as Peter recorded there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Do you know that? God cares for you. And Peter said that we need to be a people who cast our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. Therefore, when you become overcome by the deceitfulness of sin, be mindful of the need to go to God and to ask Him for His help in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. I also suggest to us this afternoon another way that can help us effectively overcome the deceitfulness of sin is to be one who confesses our sinful habits to others and requests their help and prayers on our behalf. You see, we need to be a people who confess our sins to one another. Did you know that? Notice what James says about this there in James chapter 5 and verse 16. There in James chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, "Confess your trespasses." To who, James? To one another. "And pray for one another." Why? "That you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Remember that. And think about this. Think about some of the benefits that we can have when we confess our trespasses to one another. Think about some of the benefits that can come from doing that. First and foremost, when we confess our trespasses to one another, we can help look out for one another, can't we? We can help look out for one another. But another thing we can do when we confess our trespasses to one another is we can help keep one another accountable. But we can also console and comfort one another when we confess our trespasses to one another. And when you become overcome by the deceitfulness of sin, seek out somebody that you trust, that you can comfortably confide in, and let them know, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you please pray for me? Let them know. Because as we learned there in James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? It availeth much. There's power in prayer. And we need to not only ask for God for His help, go to Him in prayer and ask for Him to help us in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin, but we also need to go to one another and ask them for their help and for their prayers for us on our behalf to help us overcome the deceitfulness of sin. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, another way that can help us effectively overcome the deceitfulness of sin is to make your sinful habits hard to fulfill. Think about that. You see, Jesus emphasizes the importance of eliminating potential objects of stumbling. There in Matthew 18. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Matthew the 18th chapter. And here in Matthew 18, beginning in verse number 8, notice what Jesus says about the need to eliminate the potential objects of stumbling here. He says in Matthew 18 and verse 8, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Simply put, what Jesus is saying here is we need to do whatever it takes to purge sin from our lives. We need to do whatever it takes to purge sin from our lives and to eliminate any potential hazards of stumbling. And when you think about the need to overcome the deceitfulness of sin, one of the things that we are going to have to do is we're going to have to make whatever that sinful habit that we may have hard to be fulfilled. Let me give you an example of that. You think about a drunkard. We talked about drunkenness this morning and how drunkenness is sin. And you think about a drunkard, one who struggles with alcohol and the drinking of alcohol. And you think about them and you think about how that they can be effective in overcoming that sin of drunkenness. One of the things that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to keep any alcoholic drink as far from them as they can, right? You see, drunkards, they need to stay out of places that serve alcohol, don't they? If they're going to overcome that sin of drunkenness, they need to stay out of any place that serves alcohol that can make that alcoholic beverage easily accessible to them. They don't need to go to the aisle at the grocery store that has all the liquor lined up, do they? They don't need to be going over and keeping company with those who engage in the drinking of alcoholic drink, do they? They need to stay as far from things like that as possible, don't they? They need to do whatever they can to make that simple habit hard to fulfill. And it's the same with all of us, no matter what sin we may be struggling with. Whatever sin we may be struggling with in our lives. If we're going to overcome the deceitfulness of that sin, we need to make that sinful habit hard to fulfill. But here's another example of how we can effectively overcome the deceitfulness of sin. Always look for the way of escape when you are tempted to sin. You see, temptation, it's common to all. It's common to all. We learn about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 13. And notice what Paul says about temptation here. Here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Now pay attention to the rest of this verse. Because Paul says, "But God is faithful." Always remember that. God is faithful. Paul says, "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation." What will God do with that with the temptation that is common to man? "Will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Remember that. Remember that the next time you are tempted by the deceitfulness of sin, you're tempted to sin, and remember the need to look for that way of escape. Because here's the thing. Although temptation is common to all, none will be overcome by the temptation to sin if they will just look for and take advantage of God's providential ways of escape. We need to look for that, don't we? Sometimes we may be in a situation to where we may be tempted to sin. We may find ourselves in a place that tempts us. And the best thing that we can do is simply just to turn around and run. Turn around and run. Get out of there. And we need to look for that way of escape, knowing that God will provide a way of escape. But here's another example of how we can be effective in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. And that is simply to overcome your sinful habit with a good habit. Think about that. You see, we learn there in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 21, where Paul says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Think about that. The next time you feel the urge to give into temptation and to commit sin, think about the need to look to do something good instead of that evil. Redirect your focus. Instead of focusing upon and thinking about that temptation to sin, instead of being overcome by the deceitfulness of sin, overcome that sinful habit with a good habit. Let me give you some examples of that. For instance, again, we'll use the illustration of a drunkard, one who's struggling with drunkenness. Maybe you're tempted to get that drink of alcohol to get your fix. Instead of focusing upon that, go write a letter to someone. Give someone a call who you can confide in and talk to, who will encourage you in a proper way. Go visit someone of a good influence who will encourage you in the way that is right. Do something that is good. And remember that the next time you feel the urge to give in to temptation and to sin. Don't give in. Don't give in to that temptation to sin. But rather seek to do something good instead. Remembering, as Paul said in Romans 12, 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil," how? "With good." Here's another example that can help us be effective in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. And that is, overcome the deceitfulness of sin by surrounding yourself around those who are of a positive influence upon you, rather than those who are a negative influence upon you. You see, we learn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the fact that evil company corrupts what? Good habits or good morals. But you want to know something? On the flip side of that coin, it's also true that good company corrects bad habits. You ever think about that? There's a lot of truth to that. Does evil company correct good habits? Certainly it does. Evil company will corrupt good habits. But likewise, it is true that good company will help correct bad habits. And we need to be mindful when we are struggling with the deceitfulness of sin, not to surround ourselves around those that's going to be a negative influence upon us, but rather to surround ourselves around those who's going to be a positive influence around us. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about these words of wisdom found there in Proverbs chapter 4. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And notice these words of wisdom beginning in verse number 14. And here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, the wise man says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it, turn away from it, and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall." Remember that. Again, recognize the dangers of surrounding yourself upon those who are going to lead you down that pathway of evil. Beware of that. And as the wise man said, avoid it. And be mindful of what we learned there in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20. And there the wise man says, he who walks with wise men will what? Will be wise. But the companion of the fool will be destroyed. Remember that. And seek to surround yourselves around those of a positive influence, rather upon those who are a negative influence, in order to help you overcome the deceitfulness of sin. But here's one more to share with you this afternoon in regard to an example of how we can effectively overcome the deceitfulness of sin. And that is, we can overcome the deceitfulness of sin by thinking upon things that are pure and wholesome, rather than evil things. You see, we learn there in Mark chapter 7. We learn the fact that sin, it begins where? The desire to sin begins where? In the heart, in one's mind. Notice that with me there in Mark 7. Notice these words of Jesus. Here in Mark chapter 7, picking up in verse number 21, Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." You see, knowing that, if we're going to overcome the deceitfulness of sin, again, we're going to have to be a people who redirect our thoughts, aren't we? We're going to have to redirect our thoughts. We're going to have to fill our mind with pure and wholesome things in order to greatly reduce the possibility that that evil thought will blossom into sin. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of instruction of the Apostle Paul found there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And notice what Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about that. Paul simply says, you need to be meditating. You need to be thinking upon things that are simply pure and wholesome rather than things that are filled with filth and garbage. And instead of focusing upon evil things, instead of filling our minds with filth and garbage, we need to be focusing on pure and wholesome and good things, don't we? And when we do that, it's going to help us be effective in overcoming the deceitfulness of sin. Once more, I encourage us all to beware of the deceitfulness of sin and to be one who does whatever it takes to overcome the deceitfulness of sin. Because as we talked about this morning, the wages of sin is death. Ultimately, when one surrenders themselves to a life of sin, what they're going to earn for that is eternal separation from God. Eternal death. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that. Therefore, let us be mindful of the awfulness of sin, and may we all beware of the deceitfulness of it. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God this very hour. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You can have your sins washed away by being baptized into Christ and being raised up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember the need to continue to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And may we remain faithful unto death, remembering that Jesus promised there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God and ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this afternoon who is in need to trust and obey, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Verses Selected.